It's great to see a full house. Today is the last day, or the next to last day, of our 90-day Ango, our practice period that started on December 26th. And during this period, we've been led by our Shuso Ocean. Tomorrow, Ocean will give his first Dharma talk. And he'll invite you all of the Sangha, to challenge him in Dharma combat. Ocean has led us through a remarkable practice period, culminating in the urban session that we're completing today. Because Ocean is deaf, I urged him to use his experience and insight to the whole question of disabilities, of true accessibility, so that each of us could learn to use appropriate, skillful means in our interdependence with all those around us. And in particular, we are looking at sensory impairments. The funny thing is that during the last period of Zazen, I was sitting here and I thought, and it occurred to me that it's always wrong where Manchin sits to sign for anyone, because the person being signed for also wants to read lips at the same time. But if we put them together, as we always have, then they're not... he's not able to do that. So I took them in the other room and I said, we have to rearrange the Zendo so that we're doing it in the right way, so that he can both read my lips and follow the signs. Manchin said, well, we knew better, but we didn't want to cause a fuss. Lesson for everybody, huh? Lesson for Ocean and Manchin and me and you and all of us. Have to stay right on top of it. Someone so much in our family. Sort of making accommodations. Ocean made a big reservoir this time for our urban session. We've explored seeing and impaired seeing, hearing and not hearing, and mobility issues. We explored the sense of smell and of taste, and how they're influenced by our senses of hearing and seeing. We watched a compelling film on the barriers to sexual touching and making love for those who are severely mobility impaired. People who are confined to institutions, to wheelchairs, who need mobility assistance, who are dependent on others to be able to share a bed with someone they love. The film showed some incredibly determined people struggling with the fear and disgust of their caregivers. Then yesterday, we also watched a film about cochlear implants and the incredible difficulty in the deaf community, in a community that where perhaps the entire family is deaf and their friends are deaf, of how to deal with this new technology that enables particularly children to hear. And the struggles about other. I am deaf, do I want my child to be deaf like me and communicate with me and my family? Or do I want my child to be hearing and not even learn sign? Very difficult issues, very, very complex. And watching that and in our discussions, you know, we could really see in each case how we create an other that is strange. An other that we're so frightened of that we push away. We find repulsive. Where does that come from? We see someone who is suffering, and on the street we see a homeless person and we don't want to see it. We find them disgusting. Is it our fear of difference? What does this have to do with practice? It very much has to do with the central teaching of our Ango text. We've been studying the Platform Sutra throughout this period. And I'm sure you've heard talks, we've given quite a few talks on the sutra, and there's lots of very interesting and clarifying historical things that can be said about the Platform Sutra. Something about patriarchy, about legend, about the mythology of religion. But there is a message there that's core, that's so important. That all of the teachings, all of the precepts come down to finding an intimacy and a confidence in our own Buddha nature. Not a received idea, but our own internal Buddha nature. Trust in our own being. And that is what it means to wake up. That is the sudden teaching. It's not a matter of technique, of koans versus shikantaza. It's about whether you are awake to your own being and that you recognize that own being as Buddha nature, the nature of awakening, the nature of interdependence, of interconnection. And that's where we get the formless precepts. The precepts come. They have no form. They come from us, from our own internal ability to know what is right. We see this in the story of Wei Ning at the beginning. You know, you all recall the story. I know it's been told many times over the past 90 days. You know, he heard a fragment of the Diamond Sutra. He said, oh, where does that come from? They said, oh, this great, great master, Hong Jian, is there. You should go. That's where you can find out about the Diamond Sutra. He goes to Hong Jian. It's this great big room with all of these high monks in it. And he comes up and remember, he's a woodcutter. He's an illiterate, poverty-stricken, homeless-looking guy. And Hong Jian asks him, where are you from? What do you want here? That's enough to make some of us leave right there. I don't know what I want, right? Wei Ning answers, I'm from Lingnan in the south, and I'm here seeking the Buddha Dharma. And Hong Jian says to him, you southern monkey, you're a barbarian. How could you attain the Buddha Dharma? How could you become a Buddha? So Ning is standing there in his rags, and he says, although people from the south and people from the north differ, There is no north or south in Buddha nature. Although my barbarian's body and your body are not the same, what difference is there in our Buddha nature? Although my barbarian's body and your body are not the same, what difference is there in our Buddha nature? I wonder how many of you in this room, including myself, are able to say the same thing when we are challenged. How can an old woman do that? How can a deaf person listen? How can a blind person see? How can a cognitively impaired person like you hold a job? How can a paraplegic like you have good sex? How can a gay person like you marry? How can an HIV positive person like you be a nurse? How can an immigrant like you go to college? How can a depressed person like you function at all? Can each one of us say, although we are different, there is no difference in Buddha nature? Do we have the ability to say that? Can we have that trust and confidence? It's a confidence in everything and anchored in our own being. To distrust our own Buddha nature is to distrust everything. Wei Ning shows us how to recognize what we in Zen call who we really are. That which cannot be defined or defiled by others. You know, people come here to the Zendo and they're all ingratiating and cloying and just as like, just drives me crazy. It's like somebody doing something on a blackboard, you know? I want you to be yourself. Don't be good in front of me. It makes me want to vomit. And I tend to treat you that way until you come off of it. You all know this is true. Don't let others define us. This southern monkey, that was a racist remark that he made. They were from a different region of China. See, that Hung Jin and his crew were these taller people, came from a different section of the country from the north. And Wei Ning was from the south, from the jungles. He was small and dark. So it was basically a racist remark from the get-go. And then a classist remark, we could say, because he was a ragged woodcutter. He didn't come from the nobility like so many of the others. You know, they had been trained even in the Confucian studies before they had become Buddhists. It was very... How can we let others define us? You southern monkey. You stupid, ugly, deformed, impure person. Not normal. So we may resist and react to the slur, but we may also find ourselves living a life that's seeking approval. Imagine that. Living a life seeking approval from others without any connection to who we really are. without any connection to our awakened nature, our Buddha nature, which in the Zen tradition is the baseline. Other traditions, we might say there's something called original sin. In Buddhist tradition, there's original Buddha nature, a very different starting point. But when we seek approval from outside, we try to please someone or something that's out there. And if we are successful in pleasing others, we become proud and haughty. We become swollen with this exterior information about ourselves. And of course, it's not possible to please everyone. So there's also always this crushing sense of defeat, no matter how good we get. It plays around the edges of our psyche, creating anxiety and fear and confusion. And another tragedy of this is that within that dark place where we're so confused, swollen with pride, swollen with haughtiness, and also confused and frightened, there is no room for humility. Humility is not possible. We have to have this big front. There's no room for simplicity. Just this, just as I am today. No, I have to put myself together and be something else, something my mother wanted me to be. Never going to happen. And what about the bliss of knowing who you are? You know, forgive me for saying this, the bliss of loving yourself. Wow. Your real self. So instead, we turn for confirmation outside of ourselves. Other people, societal values, rules of religion, philosophies, Zen teachings. How to be a good Zen student. And the sutra tells us over and over again, we have to look inside. And how do you do that? He says it's sudden. What is that? We can do it right now if you want. We can just take a breath in and touch in to your own being. Who you are. To really appreciate yourself. When Wei Ning tells us to take refuge in the three treasures, he says, The sutras say to take refuge in the Buddha within yourselves. They do not say to rely on other Buddhas. If you do not rely on your own nature, there is nothing else on which to rely. You know, the world we live in, it just is filled with images and stories of what is good, what is right, what to wear. Joshin was laughing last night. She was reading some deep text, and I was looking at the catalog for Harry's shoes. And she said, "I can't believe you're doing that." Going through and seeing what the girls should be wearing this year. You know, the what's out there in the society that we built, it's not so different from a long time ago, but it's just hyper-concentrated now. And there's such a loss, because there is a loss of these other systems that taught people what to believe, religion, philosophy, a decent education. So those things are gone, the whole kind of humanist thing. So what's left is this crap of advertising and what we get on the internet, what we get everywhere. It's just throwing in our face all the time these images. This is what it is to be beautiful. This is what it is to be successful. This is what you have to own. And what if you're an artist or a writer that has not somehow connected to the successful world? Does that mean you're a failure? Does it? You're a writer? You're a painter? You do beautiful work? You find a way to live in a humble way? And you're connected to your Buddha nature? Does it ever, ever matter that you're successful in the way that the media tells you to be successful? Does it matter at all? It's all bullshit. That's from the sutra. The sutra says, "The sun and the moon are always bright. Yet if they are covered by clouds, although above them they are bright, below they are darkened. And the sun, moon, stars, and planets cannot be seen clearly." This is a trope you find a lot of times. How do we see ourselves clearly when we have these clouds over us? What our mother and father said, what our schoolmates said. How do we see clearly who we really are? And isn't that what we're doing here? What gathers this little group of people in this great big city today? To find the quiet in ourselves, the space in our own bodies, to recognize ourselves, to connect to the reality that we are. Wei Ning says over and over again, abandon the external practices, the rules. Instead, trust your own mind. He said, the sutra says, even these sentient beings filled with passions and troubles will at once gain awakening. It's like the great sea which gathers all the flowing streams and merges together the small waters and the large waters into one. This is seeing your own nature. You see, when you have confidence and trust in your own nature, there's room for everything else. There's room for the homeless person on the street down there. There's room for the person in the wheelchair, the deaf person, the blind person, the depressed person. There's room for everything. When you are trusting your own Buddha nature. This great sea has all the elements of our lives. Our loving families and our dysfunctional families. Our healthy bodies and our aging bodies. Our disabled parts and our abled parts. All of these streams flow into our own being. How could we not trust that? My cousin has a daughter, so she's my second cousin. Her name is Kathy. She's in her 40s now, and she was born with fetal alcohol syndrome. Her body is quite small, and she has significant cognitive impairments. But she has flourished in a family that has urged her to find her center and to believe in herself. She has a job in the mailroom of the land title company her father owns. And she works in the mailroom and very proud of the work she does there. She has her own apartment. And she drives with the help of, she had an interactive map way before anyone else had one, so that, because she has a very good sense of direction. Every once in a while, she has too many drinks and calls me. She doesn't want to be called courageous. She'd rather be called lively. Sometimes she's silly. And she says, you know, we're all a little nuts. The sutra says, unawakened, even a Buddha is a sentient being, and even a sentient being, if she or he is awakened in an instant of thought, is a Buddha. And thus we know that the 10,000 dharmas are all within our minds. During this session, Ocean, our Shuso, has been encouraging us to wake up to our true nature. By studying our senses and the impairment of our senses, by studying how we can enter into looking newly at this word, disability, we can drop our reliance on the judgment of others. Find it in our breath, in our body, and in our mind. Find our true nature. I hope you hear what I'm saying. It's the most important thing. All the rest is just to get you in the door. Let me end with this gatha. It seems hidden, but it's always right here. Breathing in, there is light in my heart. Breathing out, the sound only I can hear. I don't know what it is, but I'm hiding nothing from you.